Nice topic from one of my favorite svarim, Das Konisa. The shtabit we'll discuss is Kivshe Derachmana Lamlach. He has an amazing treatment of this concept. Kivshe Derachmana Lamlach, the most classic example of Kivshe Derachmana Lamlach is in regard to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu did not want to get married. He chose, I don't know, not to get married, he chose not to have children, it seems. It doesn't say he didn't get married. It doesn't say that. What? Why? Because he saw in the stars, he saw Peruch HaKodesh, that he's going to have a child, Menashe, and Omoim, that will be Machriv, the whole Klal Yisrael. Menashe and Omoim, Menashe was responsible, he was, that's the bottom line, he was responsible for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. He put into motion, he was the king for 55 years, after him his son was king for 2 years, and then came the greatest king of them all, Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was king. Was king for, I forgot how many years, for something, 50, Yoshiyahu, he restored Klal Yisrael from the brink. And he brought them back to such a degree where he felt that they were roy for Mashiach to come. Only thing was, he made a fatal mistake by not listening to Yirmiyahu and did not allow Paro Necho to give him passage rights to go fight a war against in Karkamish against his enemy and Ashur. Therefore, what happened? So therefore he was killed. And because he was killed prematurely, he was unable to continue his mission of bringing Klal Yisrael back to do tshuva, to bring Mashiach. And then they fell back to the old ways. The damage of Menashe and Omon was still there. And therefore the Churban came about 22 years later. So Chizkiyahu was right. Chizkiyahu, even though he did have a very great son, Yoshiyahu, but it really was not enough. It really was not enough to stem, to turn back the tide of the Churban that Menashe, his son Menashe, and Omon would make for Klal Yisrael. Yoshio came pretty close, but he did not do it. He not able to completely undo their evil deeds. So he did not want to have children. So what happened? So he was dying. Hashem decided you don't have children, so there's no purpose for you to live in this world anymore. So he got ill, and he was deathly ill. Who came to visit? Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu came to visit and said to him, you're going to die. So he said, why am I going to die? Because you didn't have children. So he says, I have a legitimate reason not to have children. I'm saving Klal Yisrael. So he said, Bahade Kivshe Drachmano Lamalach. That's none of your business. You have to do what your obligation. You are a human being. Hashem told you to get married, to have children, a mitzvah of Priya Urviya. There's nothing more to talk about. Zehu. And therefore, don't worry about Menashe and Omon. That's not your problem. So, and in fact, Yeshayahu says, you know what? I have a shidduch for you. I have a granddaughter. I have a granddaughter. I think it was his granddaughter, not his daughter. I don't remember. Daughter? Yeah. His daughter or granddaughter?
He said it to the Navi. He said, if you want me to get married...
Give me your granddaughter or your daughter. I don't remember. I don't remember his daughter. So he married, and indeed, maybe the Zuchus, the righteous Yeshayahu, together with the Zuchus of Chizkiyahu, maybe together we can mitigate the Cholmer, the Toikif of this bad mazel that I see I'm in. And it worked and did not work. It worked at least that he did have a Yeshayahu. When Chazal say Vayikoinein Yirmiyahu al Yeshayahu, he was the greatest kings of the world in Klal Yisrael. Then they say he was the greatest, but unfortunately, just a little teeny short of what we needed to get by to prevent there being a Churban. Okay, so we find this principle Bahade Kivshe Derachmano Lamalach. This principle is not the only place where this thing that we find. We find this in this week's parasha. That's why he discussed this. Oh, Amram, what happened in this week's parasha? Paro said, "Kol ha'bein ha'yiloid ha'yoira tashli chul v'cholabasti chayun." What did Miriam say to her father? Father, your gezera is worse than the gezera of Paro. Paro was goyzer al azuchadim. You've been goyzer on the nekevais. So he listened to her. Why didn't Miriam say to her father, "Behade kivshe derachmana lamalach"? Better answer. Didn't Miriam? Miriam was a Beis Yaakov girl. She learned Navi. Kind of like the boys. All the Beis Yaakov girls, they know Navi very well. So why did Miriam say to her father, "Father, your gezeira is worse than Paro. Paro only goes around the Zuchadim, he goes around the Nekevos. She had a much better thing to say to her father. She should have said, "Father, are you better than Chizkiyahu HaMelech? Didn't you go, didn't you learn Yeshaya? He hasn't come yet? Who told you didn't come yet? You don't know." I'm just joking, okay? Don't take me so...
joking too.
Okay. Ooh, you got me. Okay. Good, this guy's sharp, see? You see, they like you here, you see? I was right last time. Okay, so what's going on? She had a much better claim. Behade kivshe d'rachmano lomolach. What are you doing? So, obviously, that was not a claim. If you have a good calculation, why not to do Hashem's will? Obviously, that is legitimate. So why, by Amram, it appears, at face value, that he was permitted, with the argument of Behade kivshe d'rachmano, that was not a problem. Amram certainly knew about this issue. Hashem tells you what to do. You do what you're supposed to do. He knew about that. He said, no, in this case, Hashem, I'm right. You don't do it in this case. Only because Miriam, your gezer is worse than Paro. That's the only reason. But he disagreed with Chizkiyah. He doesn't say this over here. Yosef, outside of Yosef, he had two children, the Lefnei Bo, before the famine. So I don't remember the pasuk by heart, that he had Ephraim and Menashe before the famine began. And Rashi says, why does the pasuk have to go through the effort and tell us that he had before the famine, before war? What's that necessary? To teach you a halacha, that a person should not have children during a time of famine. Why not? If you're not going to have children, there's going to be a decrease in the population, and then there's going to be problems down the line. You do what you're supposed to do, and Hashem will do what He wants to do. If the children are going to starve to death, that's Hashem's problem. If the children are going to live, they're going to live. What is He having only? Why not have children during a time of famine? You do. The Torah tells you do mitzvah. You don't have to. That was the argument of Chizkiyahu. You know, he has other examples. Let me see if I can remember. Okay,
yes.
He told him he's going to die because he's not getting married. Okay, another very good example is Noach. Let me read you the Yalkut. It's very, very fascinating. Noach ben Tovkov was 500 years old and he has children. Noach first had his first child when he was 500 years old. If you study the Pesukim of that generation, all of them already are having children when they're 100 years old. 200 years old. Why did Noach wait until he was 300 years old to have children? 500 years old to have children. Everyone in his generation was having children. It says there, Matam, I'll read the words, Matam kol doiroi. Listen to this, very fascinating. Matam kol doiroi moilid l'meya ulimosayim. It's the words of the Yalkut. V'hu moilid l'tof kuf shani. He waited until he was 500 years old. Ella, what's the answer? Amar kol baruch hu, im rishoim hein. Ein ritzoini. So what did he say? Omar Hakadosh Baruch Hu im rishoyim hein ein ritzoini sheyoyvdu b'mayim v'im tzadikim hein atriach Allah v'yase tevois harbe. Manavshach. If Noach's children are going to be tzadikim, so by the time the Mabul comes along, when the Mabul comes along, Noach's going to have a whole. Army of children and grandchildren. So he'll have to go build who knows, a fleet of Tevites. And if Noach's children get swept away in the sins of the generation, Noach's going to have a lot of agmas nefesh. Noach each tzaddik, tam hayabidai raisav, I don't want to cause pain to my great to Noach. He's going to build a Tevites, he's going to the marble, he'll go into the marble in a bad frame of mind because his own children are being swept away. So Hashem says, you know what? Better let's wait until he'll be a little bit old, 500 years old, so that by the time the Mabul begins, he's to get a lot of this. This is really funny. It says, "Kavash Hakadosh Baruch Hu me I know what this means. Me inoy v'hoyle l'tovkov shana she'afilu yefes, even his youngest child shehu gadol kishayavoy haMabul." When the Mabul will come, Einai ben Kufshan, he's not yet 100 years old. And if you're not 100 years old, you're not a bar oinshin. Just like today, today, on our scale, you're not a bar oinchin until you're 20 years old. They had different standards in those days. You're not a bar oinchin until you're 100 years old. So therefore, Hashem denied from Noach children until he was 500 years old, so that when the Mabul will come, his youngest son will not be 100 years old. That way, he won't be, even if he's a Rasha, he's not responsible for his actions, so therefore he'll be saved in the Mabul. So the question over here is, what's going on over here? The Gemara over here says, why do we apply these rules? Why don't we say the rules is Bahadeh? Now here it's focusing on Kodesh Baruch, but it's on his order. But still, in all, what he's saying is, right? The rule is the world has to follow a seder, an order. Whatever happens, be that as it may, let the cards fall. What's the expression? Let the cards fall where they may. Let the chips fall where they may. Whatever it will be. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulating, looking into the future? What's going on over here?
You know everything.
What's going on over here? Okay. Now, what's really famous is this Gemara. We'll end up with this. Now, I'll just tell you one very simple answer is, there's a famous Taisa. The Gemara over here says, V'chim Shas HaGolus, the Taisa says, that Bizman HaZeh, really, we're not allowed to get married. Bizman HaZeh, the Gemara Taisa says this. Why? Because since there's a tradition, to make a long story short, there's a tradition that the world's going to come to an end and it's going to be a massive korban. So what's the purpose of all this? What's the purpose of having children populating the world when the world is anyway going to come to an end? Everyone's going to suffer.
Everybody comes to an end, even the world doesn't come to an end.
Tosfos says this. If I would say this, you would laugh your head off at me. But Tosfos says this. Tosfos says that Bizman HaZeh, is a very famous Tosfos, Gesundheit. Okay. Bizman HaZeh, it should be forbidden to get married. We should just not get married and let the world come to an end. And Tosfos ends with the most shocking words you've ever heard. He said, that's right. That's right. Better not get married. Mutov, don't tell anyone this. Mutov sheyushaygin v'al yehu meizidin. Let people just be shaygin. They'll do whatever they want to do, and they should not violate the halacha b'meizid. I mean, it's off the charts. Let's say something like this. Any event, okay, to make a long story short, this is a topic. There are many more examples which I'm not too prepared, so I can't tell you all the details. But get the basic gist. The only answer that I saw here that's more satisfying is, and this is very important, you say it for life, there's a difference between imminent events and events in the long run. When something is imminent, for example, Pyro says, Kol Habein, Hayiloid, Hayoira, Tashlichu, today, imminent, anyone today that has a baby, Hayoim, kill him, I'm going to kill the baby. It's imminent. Then you can make cheshbonos. You're permitted to make calculations because it's imminent. When your question is, what's going to be down the line? Chizkiyo. Right now, everything is good and fine. Everyone, well, I'm going to have a child, until the child become a teenager, become an adult, until it'll make trouble. It's not today. It's not imminent. Then you're not allowed to make cheshbonos. And basically, he tries to go through all the examples where you have this contradiction, these contradictions between things that are imminent, things that are not imminent, things that are not that down the line. That is where you make a distinction. It's a very important insight for life. In life, you have to have a balance. There are certain things you have to have emunah. Yeah, don't think so much. Don't worry so much. On the other hand, you got to be practical. You know, you gotta be proud. Like I once had a discussion with a fundraiser from Yeshiva, and they said they wanted me to give a lot of money. Okay, I give them nothing because I don't have any money to give them. They don't have money. And I don't know. So they said, what is the money? The money is going for an endowment fund. It's what? an endowment fund, which means the money is being put away in a bank, an investment. Hopefully the investment won't steal the money. And it's going to be put away for 15 years, 20 years. And the people who are joining this group will then, everyone should be good and well and alive and healthy, will come together at that point in time, and hopefully there'll be a lot of money, and they will then decide what the yeshiva should do with the money. That's what they wanted. They wanted to put away money for the future, which will grow exponentially, hopefully. That was the plan. So I said to them, this is what I said to them, and they had nothing to say to me. I said, we went to yeshiva, And you know, and they tell me, I don't, Baruch Hashem, I don't listen. I went to college, but a lot of people, you don't have to go to college, you don't have to do anything. Have betochen. You don't have to look into the future. Right now, you have parnasa, everything is okay. You don't have to think about what's going to be down the line so much. You have to chop around, take advantage to sit and learn and do. Don't make such cheshbonos for the future. So I said, I understand. We're in yeshiva, you told us, don't worry about the future. Right now, focus right now. And now you're coming to me with the fundraising, you're coming to do fundraising, you're coming to demand lots of money for something for the future for 20 years from now. So who knows what's going to be in 20 years from now? Isn't this a bit of a contradiction?
Sure.
So they said, not really. Not really. Fundraising is fundraising. Learning is learning. It's not necessarily a contradiction. Maybe they're right. I don't know. They're probably right. There's a subject to that. Okay, but it's a very tough balance in life. It's a very disturbing. This thing shook me up a little bit because it's chaka very, very true. Bahade kivshe derachmana lamalach. But yet, Yisro says, listen, that's it. No one's getting married. There are other examples he has. What's the answer? Balance. Balance is the answer. Things are imminent. You have to use your seichel. You have to use your seichel. Things, there's Yosef, there's a famine coming right away. You don't have children when there's a famine. There's no food in the street. There's no food. What are you going to bring people into this world for? They should starve to death. Wait until the famine is over. Period. Simple. Future. It's going to be 5-10 years down the line. That's right. Even though it makes no sense, according to the forecast is bad news. I don't know what the economic forecast, all the economists are mamish, the pachat, chodim, what's going on in the economy now, because it's taking off like mamish, going up like crazy, and no one knows, and whatever goes up comes down, it's mamish pachat. Okay? Right now, we're not worried. I don't know, where's the balance? Where do you draw the balance? This is the nesayon of life. All right, stop here. Gracias.